Welcome to Diva Dive. I'm your host, Jay Wald, and this is episode 86.
Yep.
Hey, that sounded pretty good. Hey, I'm back. I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you guys I'm back.
Yeah. You are?
Yeah, I totally forgot
it's
about
recording.
That.
It's a recording.
It's a recording. Well, I want to
welcome back, Joe. Welcome back.
Yeah, recovery surgery. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
So please come back.
I know. All right. I want to say this is also episode 5 of the good versus bad. Give me a like, please.
Yep.
And guess who's back? The one himself. The head shepherd.
The head shepherd. Oh, wow. Yes.
Welcome, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Yes, this is the final episode of Good versus Bad.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, because now Christmas is kicking in.
I know, right?
But it's still good and bad. It's still together. Naughty or nice. How about that? Naughty or nice.
Yeah, I don't want people to have the impression I don't have a Christmas sermon.
I understand.
Nice. All right.
Before we go on, we want to thank all our podcast listeners. Of course, any medium you may use, we want to thank you for that. Send all your messages to 954-388-8780. And Don, once again, I want to thank you for your fill-in. You're the greatest.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's start off with a word of prayer.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you once again for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Lord, there's so many things that we just don't have enough time to thank you, but continue to bless us in a mighty way and continue to put us what we need to be. Thank you for this podcast. Thank you for our speaker. Thank you for all the folks that listen and can get something out of it each and every day. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for all our podcast listeners, before I go, yes, it does sound like I have something in my mouth because of the surgery. So be patient with me, please. I'm getting there.
Be kind.
Be kind. So give me a like, please. How about that?
Give me a like.
Thank you, Pastor. I got one.
You got it.
All right, Pastor. So current event for today is vaccines. We are seeing, the vaccine's coming out. Some people are going to get it. Some people it's mainly going to go to the healthcare workers. We have a lot of people within our church who are healthcare workers. Should they take that vaccine? Is that a Christian-like thing to do? Or can we say, well, we don't want to be vaccinated because, it's not really something that God would want me to do?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question, and it's hard to answer for somebody else.
Mm.
Because this is a decision that everybody will have to make on a personal basis.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, I have a sense of urgency that is being promoted, where I can see that some people will not even have a chance to decide.
Wow.
Mm.
Because if you are in the health system, and your health institution enforces it, then the risk is you may be sent home, sent away, if you do not submit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a very tricky decision for those that would be probably in the first line.
Mm.
But looking at the larger perspective, I believe there are many people that are waiting for the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And officially, we have been waiting for a vaccine.
Right.
Meaning the country and the world.
Yeah.
But then there are all kind of ideas, preconceived ideas, or maybe justified to some extent,
mm-hmm.
whether this vaccine will imply or entail other complications.
Mm.
And that's where all kind of ethical or possibly ethical questions can come into play.
Mm.
Personally, I believe if somebody goes into a context where there are human beings and it can protect his own person and other people around him or her, mm-hmm. then it may be a good step.
Okay.
But, you know, I also have an issue with those that promote a conspiracy around everything.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
This is how my personal journey evolved with regard to vaccines. You know that I was born in a communist country.
Right.
Yeah.
So in those days, in a communist country, they would never ask you whether you wanted to be vaccinated or not.
Hmm.
In the school or in kindergarten, they would just line you up like cows, and you wanted it or not, they would give it to you.
Right.
And it was very funny because you always had a few that were scared to death
right.
when they saw the needle.
Right.
Yeah. And most of the time they were boys.
Oh.
So wow. you would see them run around like crazy.
Yeah.
But they would run them up, round them up and bring them there and just give them the vaccine nevertheless.
Wow.
So yeah, to me the question is, you know, in those days nobody asked the question what they put in that vaccine.
Yeah,
that's the question.
But now even the same people that didn't question it in those days, they are questioning it high time.
Right, right.
So, yeah, it's tricky because some people say this vaccine is not like other vaccines because it gets into the cell. I don't know the technicality of it.
Mm.
But some people say it's different from other vaccines because the virus is different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So then we don't know what the long-term effect of that is.
Exactly.
But what I know from personal experience, again, is that when I wanted to go to Africa and to some other places in the world, if I didn't have some vaccines, they wouldn't allow me.
They wouldn't allow you. Yeah.
So they would ask me to do them.
Right.
Okay. Right. So how can I handle that? Mm-hmm. If I want to go to some places, I have to have some sort of vaccine. Mm-hmm. And on a smaller scale, that can be the case with this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to take it, you may not be able to go into some communities.
Oh. Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
so on the positive side, if it helps, if it saves lives, then the answer would be yes. On the negative side, if the costs are higher than benefits, then the answer would be probably no. Right. But who knows at this point?
Exactly.
So just pray for wisdom.
Amen.
That's true. Amen. All righty.
Your sermon, pretty direct, pretty straightforward. Give me a like, please.
Yes, please. Here you have it.
I have two against mine, so thank you. So Don needs some more. You got to give me some, Don.
All right.
He always gets a like. You had him here saying a genuine Christian in the same representative of God's kingdom, both in the physical world and the virtual world. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? How does that, as a Christian, that's hard. That's really, really hard.
I spoke about this inhibition effect. That's a technical term to what happens to people when they move from their physical reality into the virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a combination between the two of them. Because, for instance, right now, we are all in our physical realities.
Right.
And we are connected via the virtual world.
Right. That's true.
Okay, so that's a combination. But there is this other situation where you sit in front of your computer and enter a world that seems to be unreal. ethereal, right? And you can watch stuff, you can do stuff, you can lie, you can kill, you can watch pornography, you can do whatever you want. And you kind of have the impression that that is not real.
Yeah.
Because you are here in the real world, in your physical reality. When you pass the screen, you have the impression you are in a different world.
Yep.
And that's not real.
Mm-hmm.
And you can allow yourself do all kind of things.
Mm.
Because, hey, that's there.
Yeah.
It will never come out.
Yeah.
Nobody will be affected. Nobody will ever know about it.
Yeah.
So why not try things that I cannot do in real world?
In real world.
I know they are not appropriate. But in that fictitious or fictional world, you can do that. So the challenge is that although that reality is virtual, what happens with you is not virtual, it's real.
Yeah.
Because the realities of the virtual world will affect your brain, will affect your being, and of course, it will affect other people around you.
Let me ask you a question. This virtual reality, I mean, I look at it as a deception from the evil one, from keeping you focused on the true and living God. What do you say about that?
Yes, the virtual world can be very deceptive indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can expose you to realities that would not jeopardize your life otherwise.
Okay.
At the same time, I can see the positive aspects of it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the virtual world gives you the possibility to create content that people can access.
Yeah.
And can have a positive influence on them.
Yeah.
Like a creative side?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't classify the virtual world as being evil per se.
Okay.
I think it's neutral, but depending on what elements are brought into it and what people consume from it,
can go either way. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, that answers the question. The virtual world right now, especially in COVID, you can reach so many more people with God's word.
Absolutely.
Whereas, you know, if you're looking at it from what you were discussing about the different other things that you can get involved in and think, well, no one will know because it's virtual, then that's a totally different ballgame.
True.
Okay, so you talked about virtual identity and our integrity in the virtual identity. Can you expound a little bit on those three points that you gave us?
Yes. So I was trying to suggest that you can take some safety measures when you approach the virtual reality.
Right.
And it starts in real life, in real world, and it comes back to real world.
Mm-hmm.
But the first step is establish solid, healthy values, real life, real world values.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you know what you stand for.
Mm-hmm.
Use your values as filters.
Mm-hmm.
You may know that there are all kind of filters you can install on a computer, on a device.
Right.
So that it will protect your children.
Right.
And I'm not saying that is bad in itself. What I'm saying is it's not sufficient and it's not effective unless you also establish values in the mind and heart of those children.
Right.
Because they will grow and at one point nobody will install filters on their computers.
Mm.
They have to have the filter here in their hearts and minds.
Right.
So that's why it is crucial to establish solid values as parents Because if the parents don't have the values, how are they going to instill in their children those values?
Exactly.
Yeah. This is very tricky again, because some parents indulge things that they shouldn't in the virtual world, but knowing that they are dangerous, they try to protect their children.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's very unethical. Because you cannot convey, you cannot give what you don't have.
That's true.
Right? Wow. So then the second step is, okay, so you have strong values. Your actions have to be determined by your values. Mm-hmm. So when you enter the virtual world, ask yourself, what am I going to do here? For instance, one of the basic principles I've always applied ever since I had a computer was never to install games on my computer.
Okay.
Okay.
I've never played video games.
Never?
Never.
Wow.
Why? Because I knew if I start doing it, I will waste my time. Instead of wasting your time in the virtual world, you can do something useful.
Okay.
While other people were playing video games, I learned a few languages.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Productive. Very productive.
So then the question is, what are you going to do in the virtual world? Establish before you get in there what you are going to do.
But that's like a hard sell to a young person, Pastor.
Yeah, it
is. I mean, you've got video games nowadays are so real, and then you would tell
movies. They look like movies.
But I'm not necessarily advocating against video games or saying no video games.
I realize that.
Okay, what I'm saying is determine what kind of games, if any, you would play in the virtual world before you get there.
Right.
Because once you get in there and you are undecided. There are other people behind the virtual world that will decide for you. Okay. There are hooks there. And there are people that get high salary every month.
Yes.
Just to fool you.
Just to fool you. Yep.
Okay.
In my profession.
And, you know, I heard a conversation once between somebody that was a scammer and somebody that was interviewing the scammer.
Okay.
And the interviewer said, okay, but don't you realize that people will get to know this is a scam?
Right.
And he said, well, you always have stupid people out there.
The truth.
Our target is not those that wake up.
Wow.
That's something else there. Wow.
And that's very real, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is real.
So how
do we tell our young people, okay, so have this certain amount of time for video games? Because they will tell you that they have a certain amount of time to play their games. How do we tell them maybe you can limit that? Because there are people who are, well, they call them influencers, that would try to make sure that this game is such a hook that you can't. Because a lot of these games, like Fortnite, is such a hook.
That's a hook.
Or even younger kids, it's like the young ones are still doing it. And they will tell me, especially when I teach them, they will tell me, oh, yeah, I play Fortnite. And I do this until 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the morning. I do this, whatever. And they're so... you can see that it is having such a big effect on their lives. Then how do we deal with something like that? As a parent, you try to put limiters on it. And there's some, like a lot of filters, like you said, where they will shut down the game at a certain time. And so they can't do anything. But then as you're saying, if you keep doing that, then you automatically assume, well, your parents are going to shut it down by a certain time. When I get older, I can do it whenever. So you're still going to have that mindset of when I'm by myself, I will do this whenever I want to do it and how long ever I want to do it. And then your life at that time is very different. How do we start to train and tell them, well, in this world now, because it's so big.
Yes, the word for that is education. Mm-hmm. But education is a very complex reality.
Mm.
Because when the parents start educating their children, and education starts before conception.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So education starts with you as a parent before it gets to your children.
Right.
Because it will never be effective to try to teach your children things that you've never learned.
True.
Okay. So then education comes in many different ways. Yes, allotting a specific time frame for some activities, checking.
Mm.
Do not assume that your child is safe in there. Yeah. Check, see what they are doing.
Mm.
Okay? It's your responsibility as a parent.
Mm.
But then, ideally, as your child grows, your place, your role as a parent is taken over by God himself.
Yes.
Mm.
That's true.
Because up to a certain age, you as a parent, you function to your child as God. Mm. I know this may sound like heresy.
Yeah.
But that's what it is.
Mm.
Okay? So your child has to know somehow that you have a right to decide.
Right.
What is good and what is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then if the process is effective in your child's life, then when you as a parent come out of the picture, God takes over.
Mm.
Not to mention that even if the parent dies,
mm.
in the heart, in the mind of the child, the parent lives on. The memory lives on.
Right.
And you will remember, this is what my mom would say, this is what my dad would say. Mm. This is how they would act in this particular situation.
Yes.
So education, yes, it's a very, very profound, extremely crucial reality.
Mm.
That's why you cannot just abandon your child to the virtual world.
No, that's dangerous.
Or if your child sees you wasting your time in the virtual world, then how are you going to expect that your child will have sound management?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's a double thing then. You have to educate as well as you have to act it out, be the example.
Absolutely. But that's education par excellence.
Yes.
So education is not something dissociated from what you do.
Right.
And that's where many parents fail.
Mm.
Okay.
Now they live their life and now they educate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas living your life means educating. Establish what you are going to do there.
Yes.
And if you feel something is going wrong, ask yourself, if I were 10 years older, would I give myself a life for doing what I'm doing now?
Okay.
Or if my significant other, my wife, my husband, my parents, my children, saw what I'm doing now, would they give me a like? Would God, if he saw me, would God give me a like?
Mm.
So this is the checking mechanism.
Right. You mentioned about if you lived about 100 years ago, it's like you could virtually just vanish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and nowadays, you know, you're in a virtual world and you can't go anywhere. Someone can just pop your name in and boom, voila. They've known probably what you've done the last 5-10 years or even further.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's a responsibility to be in the virtual world. Let me tell you what it means, what it entails as a pastor.
Okay.
If 20 years ago, you preached a bad sermon. In 3 months, your congregation forgot it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if your sermon was bad, but then the following 3-4 sermons were excellent, they forgot about it.
Mm.
But once it's in the virtual world,
just a couple of clicks, huh?
it's just a few clicks away from people.
Yeah.
And you may say, well, but I will remove it. Okay, remove it.
Right.
But don't be surprised if in a week or two it will pop up again.
That's true.
Somewhere.
The reason why I was asking is because it's like you're going somewhere, say to a new church or something, and people already know about you before you even get to the church.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't know you. They don't know you.
But that's good and bad.
Yes.
But because if they have something good to know about it, about you, then hey, you have a chance to be known. as a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But then if you are known as a mess up, then it will be critical for you. And that's a constant reality these days.
But that's unfair. That's unfair.
Listen, I'm not sure I had enough time to emphasize or underline this in my sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But I said something to the effect of, hey, you can still pray and repent and God will still forgive you and you can start anew with God.
Yes, with Him only.
and live your life because God knows who you are. Mm. But in front of human beings, the reset is much more difficult.
Yeah.
And you are telling me, no, that's not fair. But if you tell humans, they will say, no, what God does is not fair. Let me speak about the legal system of the United States. You know that in the United States, if you mess up, that's for the rest of your life in most cases.
Right. In most cases, right. Yes.
Unfortunately. Now, from a Christian perspective, that's not good. I'm not going to use fair or unfair because that can be misleading, but it's not good. Why not? Because from a Christian perspective, the person that messed up in the most horrible way still get a chance from God.
Of course.
So then if we are a Christian society, we should somehow give a chance to a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because a person can repent and can change his or her life if God takes control.
Okay.
But then if you look at it from a society perspective, they will say, no, we cannot do that. Because if this child abuser says, I repented and now I'm a good guy, and he will repeat only once the same kind of mistake he did in the past, then we are liable as well.
Mm.
We are responsible for what he did.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very intricate reality.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to clarify all the ins and outs of it. What I'm saying is, hey, guys, be responsible. Because whatever you do in the virtual world leaves traces.
Yes.
I know the young people say something like Snapchat. It's on and then it's disappeared and you never see it again. And I keep saying to them, that stuff can be dug up somewhere. Someone can has access to that.
Somebody does.
They don't delete that totally from your whole profile. And so thinking of all the things, silly things that they may do, and then now, let's say they go to get a job 15 years from now, 10 years from now, even 5 years from now. they're able to get all that information.
And the word here is information.
Yes.
That's the word, information.
Because that's what they're getting. They're getting information on you.
Yeah.
What fools people is that they have the impression that things in the virtual reality
mm-hmm.
are like things in the physical reality, that you have something tangible, you burned it, and it's all ashes, and now the wind
took it away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's not what information is about.
Yeah.
Information does not disappear.
No, it doesn't.
True.
Information can be reactivated.
Yes. You said 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil company corrupts good habits. So if we think of it as a Christian, evil company, we would probably think, well, those are the people that do not serve God, that do the things that we know we're not supposed to do because we read that in the Bible. How can we keep ourselves away from evil company within the church?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. Because in the church, many people think it's safe.
Yes.
It's safe. You just enjoy your company because this is a safe company. And that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are a grown-up and you have some antibodies, then you may be resistant to some viruses.
Right.
So you may be not endangered by some people's presence because you have the antibodies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then what is very critical is when you are a newborn Christian, whom you associate yourself with. Because in the church, you have elements of the evil as well.
Mm.
True.
The wheat and the tares
go together.
Yeah.
And that's where discipleship is crucial, where people of maturity can guide somebody to a group of people or place somebody in a group of people where growth can happen.
Mm.
This is one of the reasons why when it comes to small group ministries, it is recommended that if you know there is a toxic person, okay, and I don't like the word, but it expresses a lot, okay, you don't want to place that person in a small group because that person will ruin the dynamic of the small group and nobody will be able to grow
at all.
Yes.
Because that one negative element can mix up everybody's mind.
That would be the virus.
Yeah. So pay attention to what is happening around you. And especially when it comes to children, parents, don't assume that just because your child is hanging up with people from the church, with young people from the church, it is totally safe.
Mm.
Make sure you know what is happening there.
Mm.
I'm not saying they shouldn't hang out, but I'm saying you have a responsibility there.
Yeah.
Some wisdom.
So true.
Yeah.
So true. Okay, go ahead, Joe.
I guess we can talk about the diffuser, right, Don?
Yeah.
No, about this fragrance that you have that you
come
into the place, you know, because it puts off this scent that it's, I don't know, sometimes it could be masking. And
yeah, if it's a scent, a fragrance, or a smell,
mm-hmm.
or something that stinks, right?
True.
Yeah.
Do you think you could diffuse something, say something does stink,
yeah.
but you try to mask it by putting something fragrant in front of it? Is that possible?
Yeah, it's like putting perfume on you when you stink because of sweating.
Yes.
That's kind of
it works spiritually.
Somebody that doesn't have the coronavirus and still has the senses
yeah.
active, will immediately sense something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but something is not good. It doesn't smell good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. You can
How would that work spiritually? How would that work spiritually?
Yes.
So you can fool some people sometimes.
Mm.
And it's very hard to fool all people all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can happen. There's always a danger of being misled by the sweet fragrance somebody put on a putrid thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if your senses are good, you will feel it and you will not fall for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have to always stay in the presence of Jesus Christ, the big sensor.
Yeah, right.
The diffuser.
Diffuser, yes.
Because that's how your nostrils will develop that sensitivity.
Yeah, distinction.
To anything that is different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the red flags that come up.
Yep.
Well, Don, I'm done.
Yeah, that's very good. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. A diffuser.
Yeah.
Mm. Pastor, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. It was my pleasure.
Before you go, what is your next sermon?
My next sermon is...
series, did I say?
It's not going to be a series right away. I'm working on a Christmas sermon.
Okay.
For the 26th of December. That's the second day of Christmas.
Mm.
And then starting the new year, I'm still debating what way to go.
Mm.
But we will have something by that time for sure.
I'm sure. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good at that. Don?
Yeah.
You're done? You have anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you. Wow. She just asked some wonderful questions, don't she, Pastor?
Thank you. Thank you so much for the great questions. I think the role of this sermon and this podcast is to get people thinking.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. All right. Because
yeah.
It was very potent. Okay. Mm. Well, as always, Pastor, would you lead us out in a word of prayer?
Mm. Yes. Heavenly Father, we recognize how fragile, how vulnerable we are as human beings, and how easily our identity, our integrity, and influence can be altered by the enemy.
Mm.
So, Lord, I pray for each one of our listeners that we will be strengthened by the presence of your Holy Spirit to have our identity straightened according to the presence of Jesus Christ in our life.
Mm.
I also pray that you will make us people of integrity that have the right influence of Jesus Christ in this world. We pray that the enemy will be rebuked in our lives.
Mm.
And if we feel that like we are messed up and it's all confusing and confused in our life, we pray that you will bring clarity and responsibility in our life so that we will know what is good and what is evil.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, through the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, Pastor. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. I have a wedding this afternoon to officiate. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give you a light for that. We're going to give you a light for that. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. As always, thank you very much for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank our podcast listeners once again. Any questions, comments, 954-388-8780. And the word for the day is, in the virtual world, please use responsibility.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. God bless everybody.